And today we're going to be discussing the case for the local church ministry. I'm coming to believe that John Adams may have been the greatest of our founding fathers. Adams, the only of his siblings to be afforded the opportunity for an education, at first entertained training for the ministry. His father's first advice to him was in that direction. For whatever reason, Adams, who was a believer, chose to study law instead. Adams' leading role in the founding of our country is without question unparalleled. His genius was to a large extent responsible for the introduction of the principles of liberty in the discussions among the Congress and the engagement of George Washington to establish and lead the Continental Army and the authorship of the Declaration of Independence. After the war was won, however, Adams' influence began to wane. Adams served as ambassador in France, negotiating, in many ways unsuccessfully, I might add, for French support of the war. After the war, he was America's first ambassador to England. Can you imagine the difficulty of that assignment? Once the Constitution was written, something in which Adams had little part, his name was proposed as the first president of the United States. Those in the know at the time only considered two men to be obvious choices for that position. Washington, of course, won the election, and Adams became vice president, serving under Washington two terms. By the time Adams refused a third term, by the time Washington refused a third term, Adams had lost much of the respect of his fellow public officials. He narrowly won the office of presidency, becoming our second president of the United States, but lost a bid for re-election. He is one of only a handful of presidents not elected for a second term. Adams was fiery, passionate, and brilliant, but they say he had one huge fault. He was unbending. He had a difficult time compromising, and compromise is the grease that makes politics work. Compromise. The very idea of compromise rides on one philosophical platform, that is, none of us are perfect. Because we're not perfect, it would be impossible to believe one position is right and another is wrong. Our ideas, according to the doctrine of compromise, are just ideas. It's probably a good philosophy to employ in politics, but it's a terrible problem in Christian ministry. If the preaching of God's word rests on the platform of imperfection, if we grease the wheels of Christian ministry with compromise, we guarantee that ministry to a slide downward until it is irrelevant. If we introduce politics into the work of God, we will watch it spiral downward until it's no longer useful. Every sort of ministry that is outside the local church must of necessity operate on politics. There are too many factions with too many opinions, proposing too many options for the organizations to function without compromise. There has to be give and take. One doctrinal position must be avoided in order that another doctrinal position not be offended. We see this, for instance, in conventions and fellowships and conferences, Christian colleges and parachurch organizations. Doctrine comes to be viewed as imperfect because doctrine comes to be seen as destructive to the organization. The local church is the answer to the compromise. Within the local church, the preacher is free to preach passionately and unbendingly what he sees in the Word of God. Believers of like faith are free to gather into the local church whose doctrine is consistent with their own. If the doctrine of this particular church is not in harmony with the believer's own understanding of the Word of God, and if the preaching of that doctrine offends the conscience of the particular believer, he's free to unite with a different church where the doctrine is in keeping with his own convictions. There is no compromise. It is the local church and only the local church that is instituted in the Word of God and has the sanction of the Holy Spirit and provides Christians the atmosphere of passionate worship without compromise.